This is Phil Farrand. And I am driving home. I'm leaving a little early today. We have this last week had a little situation where last Friday I dropped Aiden off at Sparks, and he seemed fine when I dropped him off, but then I got a call an hour later about the fact that he wouldn't stay in the auditorium, the gymnasium where they keep him, which probably means he was bored or he had something he was obsessing on. And then, you know, when they tried to make him come back, he was throwing toys at kids and apparently kicked one of the supervisors. So he'd gotten kicked out of Sparks for 3 days, gotten suspended. So then we've been taking him to school in the morning, picking him up in the evenings, and I've just been splitting my work schedule. So I've been working an hour in the morning from 7 to 8. He comes down to my house at whatever time, just depends on what Dustin needs to do. And then I take him into school at 8:35. I drop him off, and then I come back and pick him up at 3 o'clock, and they bring him out to me kindly. So I don't have to wait in the bus line. And then I take him back home. We're home by 3:15, and then I work for another hour and a half. And it, you know, that's fine. We can do that. So Dustin tried to take him back to Sparks today. And something else happened. So we're trying to determine exactly what's going on. But now, you know, they're saying, well, it's been 6 times that he's been written up, so he's going to have to be kicked out of Sparks. And Dustin is chasing down exactly what's happening because we're getting conflicting reports, but he just told the Sparks people just 100% Aiden will not be back to Sparks. So we're going to have to investigate other options, but, you know, that'll be fine. We'll work it out. So for now, it appears that I'm just going to go to a modified work schedule for the rest of the school year, which we don't have that much longer in the school year. We're in March and the school year ends in May, so that's fine. And we do have another possibility, and so we're going to chase down that possibility and see. I've told Dustin, and he agrees with me, that it wouldn't be good necessarily for Aiden to just be at our house for the entire summer. We could make that work, but that's not going to be good for him because he's got to be socialized and he's got to, you know, be in an environment where he can learn to work with others and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there are options. So we're going to chase down those options and see. So Aiden went back today to Sparks, and apparently, as I said, there were instances he's out, so I'm going to pick him up because Dustin is in school. So we'll get that picked up. I've already talked to Lynette about tomorrow, and I'm getting some tires put on my car and getting an oil change done, and so she's going to watch him in the morning and take him to school, and then I'll pick him up in the afternoon, and then we'll have him, and then starting next week, we'll just go to our modified schedule. And then, as it turns out, next Friday, he is off from school, and then the following week, the entire week, is closed down for spring break, so this will give us a chance to implement an alternate strategy, which I think I can guess what we're going to do, and it's going to be just fine. So, you know, it's kind of a shame that the whole Sparks thing didn't work out because it was convenient, because it was at the school. But, you know, they weren't necessarily something that was run by the school. It was run by a department as a kind of service to parents, and they're not really set up for special needs, apparently. So, or maybe just they're not set up for, what do we call that? Neurodivergent children? Is that the workable phrase? So this is going to be a little short today, because I've got to pick him up at around 3, and I'm headed that way now. It's about 15 minutes or so to get there, and I'll get him picked up, and then once I get him picked up, we'll just head back home and do the thing. So writing is going fine. I'm doing the read through now for the beta version, and that seems to all be going fine. I kind of know what I'm going to do for the cover, and of course I've got AI to help me get that done, and we'll just see, how this will turn out. This cover, will probably have a dragon on the front of it, so that'll be fun, and a clock, and the nursery rhyme is Hickory Dickory Dock. And so it'll be, it'll be fun to see how this all works out. I do need to have this put together, and the book's ordered by about mid-March, which means that I've got a couple of weeks here to finish getting the books read through and then getting a cover made. Have a little bit of sadness because my printer all of a sudden has stopped printing. To the color specifications that it used to. All of a sudden everything's darker. And it's like, what just happened here? First I thought it was toner or something, and I swapped a bunch of stuff out, and that didn't do it. So I'm not really sure what changed, but it is an old laser printer, and ta-da. It might be time to just buy another one. So we might be doing that in the next couple of days. Costumes are fine. I really don't have any costume I'm working on at the moment, although I am putting together the pieces for the classic movie day costume, which is just the Jim Carrey movie, The Mask. It's the yellow zoot suit from The Mask. And so I've got the pieces coming in for that, and I think that's going to be fine. I think I mentioned last week that I was going to have to make a hat, and so I'm going to make a hat, but that's not hard. Writing, costumes, family stuff, work, all is well. So I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was interviewing Kai Dickens, who is the podcaster / documentarian who put together the telepathy tapes. Those have done well. And I was interested to hear what that interview was like. And it was a good interview. It was very interesting. In the process of that, Joe Rogan mentioned that he had interviewed Thomas Campbell, and that Thomas Campbell had a bunch of interesting things to say about consciousness and telepathy and all those things. And I thought, this would be interesting. So I ran back into the list and found the episode for Thomas Campbell, and listened to it. And I did find it interesting to listen to. And I did find it amusing at the same time. Because everybody is working things out, we're all working things out and trying to figure out what's going on here and how should we react within it and. And so Thomas Campbell has kind of an interesting perspective on things because he is a physicist, I think, but he took a class on meditation at one point and just really fell into it easily. The first class he said he went to, he kind of closed his eyes and When he opened his eyes, he thought that he had only been meditating for 10 or 15 minutes, and the teacher told him that he had been meditating for an hour and a half. And so he kind of found this easy, something easy to get into. And that led him into more meditative experiences, and then he started experiencing things that he couldn't necessarily figure out based on just a purely materialistic explanation. Based on all of that, then he started exploring and thinking about all these things. And what's interesting in his case is that you have a man who started out very materialistically oriented, very focused on quote-unquote logic and reason, and then moved into this whole realm of intuition and meditation and subjective experiences. And he kind of has one foot in the canoe and one foot on the shore, and he's trying to convince himself that what he's doing is logical and reasonable, because he's still a quote-unquote scientist. But at the same time, he's making all these discoveries and seeing that people are struggling to become more intuitive, specifically because they're trying to be logical and reasonable. And so he tends to kind of wander back and forth between saying things definitively and saying that the only reason he comes to certain solutions is because it's logical and reasonable, while at the same time saying the things that hold people back are logic and reason, and the things that he says are logical and reasonable are simply things that just happen to make sense to him. And so it's kind of interesting listening to him talk. And, you know, for all the things that he's describing, experiencing different quote-unquote data streams, insisting that we are in virtual realities and that we're all in it, that this is just being generated by the consciousness machine. And that was the other quibble I had with him. I think I've mentioned that one of the issues that I have with people trying to say, oh, the human brain is like that, is when you look at the history of technological innovations, what you find is that every step of the way with every innovation, I believe you can see that there are people, when that innovation came about, that they said, oh, that must be how the brain works, all the way back to steam engines. So once people saw that steam engines could do certain work, the idea was, oh, this must be how the brain works. There must be tubulars in the brain that, you know, put different pressures at different times. And then it was when electricity came along and magnetism, it was, oh, this must be how the brain works. And then when transistors came along, it was, oh, this must be how the brain works. And then integrated circuits, oh, this must be. And networks, oh, this must be. And then neural networks, oh, this must be. And then deep learning, oh, this must be how the brain works. At every stage, it's always, this must be how the brain works, until we move to the next level of technology. Well, I feel like Thomas Campbell is in sort of that same trap, that he's seen video games and that becomes his overarching definition. And so Joe Rogan was talking about, well, what is real and what is, and Thomas Campbell's viewpoint is that, well, nothing exists until there's an observer. And so all the dots of light that we see out there, they're just dots of light because they don't need to be anything else, because that's what we have to do to conserve energy for this consciousness machine. So he's already postulated this thing that is very limited and very much in the genre of what he's used to, as opposed to saying, or Christ might be the center of everything and might be holding everything together, and his abilities might be so spectacular that in fact what we interpret as the material world might be generated simply from Christ's mind, and that yes, everything is out there and he actually has the ability to imagine all of it simultaneously, this vast universe with billions and billions of actual stars. And so he's limited by that, and I'm actually here to pick up Aiden, but let me just see if I can finish this up. So that's all very interesting to hear that kind of flopping around and trying to get this done. But the other thing that just amused me a lot was that he admitted at one point that all of this had led him to a certain set of end principles that we all just need to be kinder and more generous and less ego-driven and that sort of thing. And then he said he laughed because he figured out that, well, that's pretty much the whole thing that Christianity and Buddhism is saying. And he said, so I figured out all these things and they all just led me back to these religions. But at the same time, he still thinks what he's doing is better. It's better, you know. And my response to that is, oh, is it better? You know, because Christianity has founded civilizations. I mean, the whole Western civilization is built on Christianity. And it came from one guy in a backwards little area just saying stuff to people. And so if this one guy just saying things could grow into this entire belief system that was able to found and sustain civilization, what makes you think your philosophies, which can all be absorbed into Christianity, what makes you think your philosophies are better? Because it's based on what he considers to be logical and reasonable. So anyways, worth listening to Joe Rogan podcast on Thomas Campbell. You can look up. This is Phil Ferrand, and I am here to pick up Aiden.